Hey listeners, my fabulous colleagues Amy Bernstein and Amy Gallo are back with a new season of Women at Work. You know, it's your guide to whatever you're facing at work, from anxiety to Gen AI. Listen to new episodes of Women at Work every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the HBR IdeaCast from Harvard Business Review. I'm Sarah Green Carmichael. Today, I'm talking with David Berkus, an associate professor of management at Oral Roberts University. He's a regular contributor to HBR.org and is the author of the new book, Under New Management, How Leading Organizations Are Upending Business as Usual. He also has his own podcast called Radio Free Leaner, so check that out as well. David, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, Sarah, thank you so much for having me.
So one of the many provocative business trends that you cover in the book focuses on the idea of salary transparency. So I wanted to really focus on that today and ask you, first, just what's the basic gist here? Does this mean that everyone knows how much money everyone else is earning?
So it can, and most often it does. But what I think is most interesting is that the companies that are experimenting with transparency do it all a little bit differently. So the most famous examples are your companies like Buffer or Sumall or Whole Foods, where everybody knows what everybody gets paid. But then there are other companies that just say, okay, this is what this position pays, and then you can kind of extrapolate out who's in what position or what tier in the hierarchy or org chart. And then other people just post the formula and say, here's how we calculate everybody's pay, and it's non-negotiable. So if you wanted to do the math to figure out your coworkers' pay, you could do the math. But the idea in all of the cases is everybody knows what it takes to move up the pay scale, knows what it takes to perform and make more money. And everybody knows that, okay, there's an overarching commitment to fairness, because things like discrimination and wage gaps tend to hide in the dark corners. And sunlight, it makes it impossible to hide things like that. And so in a transparent culture, regardless of how you do it, you tend to find people who have a higher sense of the organization being fair. You tend to see increases in collaboration and all sorts of other positive effects.
Well, let's break this apart a little bit, because some of those sound like there are sort of benefits to individuals, and others you can kind of start to see how it would benefit the company. But I think most people kind of start with the assumption that it's good for the company if employees don't know how much everyone's making, because that gives the company an edge in negotiations, and maybe you can get great people at a discount. I mean, how do you think about kind of flipping that around so that actually you can sort of make the case to companies, hard-nosed executives, CFOs, you know, stingy executives, you know, you sort of have in my mind the stereotype of a Scroogey kind of leader. How do you make the case to that person that this is good for their bottom line?
Yeah. So one of the, I mean, you're absolutely right that in a secrecy condition, you can definitely negotiate a little bit better because you have access to, you know, you as the hiring manager, the employer, have access to everybody's salaries, and then most often even ask the prospective hire what was their salary in their last company. So you have all of that information, and then they just have their salary and maybe what they could find on sites like Glassdoor.com, right? And so you have much less information, and that's even a condition in economics known as information asymmetry, right? And this is, there's a lot of research on this, actually beginning with what pertained to buying lemons, cars, that may or may not be a lemon, because the dealer has access to all that information, but the public doesn't. And in most cases, information asymmetry does provide those sort of short-term gains. You can negotiate a little bit better. But most economists also warn that information asymmetry can cause a market to go awry, can cause lemons, can cause all of those sort of conditions. And I know we've all felt this, right? Because in a secrecy condition, someone leaves a pay stub on the copier and suddenly everybody is shouting at each other, right? And so it's a question of, do we want to get talent, as you said, cheaply? Or actually, a lot of the executives that I talk to in the secrecy condition will never say we get it cheaply. We just get a good deal on talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely one advantage. But the question that you have to balance is that worth some of your other performers being potentially disengaged, being potentially frustrated, and always wondering where they compare to their peers on this issue? And that's one of the most interesting pieces of research going back decades, shows that people are always making these calculations. In what's called equity theory, John Stacey Adams argued that people are always trying to calculate inputs to outputs and are frustrated when they feel like they're inputting more than they're getting back compared to their peers. And if you have a secrecy condition where nobody knows, it's much more likely that people will guess improperly, will either think somebody is overpaid or underpaid, and that messes up the entire thing and creates that recipe for a market to go awry. So yes, you can definitely get a good deal on talent in a secrecy condition. But the question is it worth the negative effects on the entire organization to get that one person talent?
That's interesting. And it does sort of point to, I remember we published an interesting study on HBR that basically showed no one has any idea at all whether they are overpaid or not. I mean, so even if you're overpaid, that person might still think that they are in fact underpaid. And you just wonder how much energy is being wasted on this sort of idea of comparing your secret number with someone else's secret number.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was the pay scale study, 70,000 plus employees surveyed, and 2/3 of people who were paid right at market rate, so people who should be satisfied, felt that they were underpaid compared to the market. And then the majority of everybody who felt they were underpaid compared to the market intended to quit. And so, yeah, you really have to ask yourself, yeah, you can do a little bit in the short term, but is it worth the long-term effects of employees being frustrated and maybe even looking to quit because they think they're underpaid, when in a transparency condition, they could say, no, I'm right at the market, my employer pays fairly. Or the most interesting that I found from that study, that PayScale and HBR research, was the idea that even if you're paid under market rate, an honest conversation about where your pay is compared to the market or where your pay is compared to peers and why it's lower was enough to turn around a lot of the departure intentions of people who were paid underneath market rate. So again, we see even if you can't pay at the same as the market, in a transparency condition, you can actually sort of re-engage people because you can explain why this is why, you know, you're underpaid, these are the other benefits you get, or this is the mission of our organization and it creates that. And so you can really retain a lot of employees in a transparent condition that you couldn't really do otherwise.
Well, and you raise an interesting point here too, which is that it really comes down to managers being willing to have these frank and yet sensitive conversations about pay. And that's just not something that I think a lot of, especially American managers, have practiced doing. I know, you know, we are in a culture that where people don't talk about their salaries very much. And so I'm sort of wondering if in your experience, the research you did for this book, if you found that it really demanded more of managers to be able to go in, have those conversations and just basically say, you know, this is why you're worth this dollar amount and not that dollar amount.
Absolutely. So one of the things I found in writing under new management, when I talked to a lot of the people who had either come out of a secrecy condition into a transparent condition or still were at a company that tries to keep salaries secret, was exactly that. It's uncomfortable to have that conversation because now you're having a conversation at two levels. There's the individual employee's conversation about, I feel like I'm underpaid and here's why. But then you also have to have the broader conversation about, is the formula we're using or is the pay scale system that we're using actually fair? Does it incorporate all of the variables that we need to incorporate? But the interesting thing is, while that might be uncomfortable, that's an incredibly productive conversation to have. And a lot of the companies, one of my favorite examples is the technology company Buffer, posted a formula and then ran salaries according to that formula. And then that created conversations that had them change the formula and change salaries so that they could basically get employee input on, here's how we should define what bringing value to the company is. And so we can change those variables. And so, yes, it's definitely a much, much more uncomfortable conversation than saying, shh, we don't talk about this. But the end results of that uncomfortable conversation are generally hugely positive.
As with probably most uncomfortable conversations in life.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I mean, it's you're definitely right. Culturally, it's something, you know, we're not supposed to tell our neighbors what we get paid or why we get paid that, et cetera. Although, interestingly, in American history, that wasn't always the case. Back around near the Civil War, in different county courthouses, the income tax records were actually sort of public domain. I remember actually there was a wonderful story on NPR, I think it was Planet Money, where they found the tax returns of Abraham Lincoln right there in a county courthouse in Illinois, because it was all public record. And so this is actually a relatively new occurrence in U.S. history, this idea that no one should talk about this, everybody should keep it secret. And then there are countries in Europe where tax returns are actually posted on the internet for all to see.
So this is so interesting to me. Why do you think, and I know we're sort of getting off of what is actually in the book here, so speculate with me a little bit, but why is that? Why is it that now in America in this moment, this makes us so uncomfortable, the idea of sharing what we make and knowing what all of our coworkers make?
Okay, so with the obvious disclaimer that, like you said, we're speculating, this is not an under-due management, but it's my sort of guess. I think that, and this applies to organizations too, I think that secrecy is the easiest way to deal with the uncomfortable feeling of inequality, right? So we know that there's inequality, income inequality in society or pay inequality in an organization, and dealing with it is hard, as we just talked about. It's an uncomfortable conversation. but not talking about it, well, that's a whole lot easier. So maybe we just go down that route and we sort of keep it secret.
It's interesting, though, that it could be somehow a response to that inequality, because it seems pretty clear from what's in your book that actually this secrecy hurts women and minorities more than people who are sort of in the majority or dominant group. And it definitely seems to perpetuate inequality as much as being potentially a response to it. So maybe give us some insight on some of the benefits of salary transparency would be in an unequal world.
Yeah. And so I should, again, definitely say that secrecy might be the easiest response to inequality, but it's definitely not the right one, you know, because it does. It just sort of takes the issue underneath where no one can see it. And you're exactly right. So there's been a bunch of interesting studies done on gender wage gap, for example, and we're used to this statistic. In fact, it's gone on for so painfully long that we can get used to the statistic of 77 cents on the dollar, 23%. And that's across all markets, uncontrolled. And in the federal government, for example, which is probably one of the best examples because they're a huge employer, and they use a leveling system where every position is in the federal government has a certain pay associated with it, and people know what each other's rank in that system is. So in general, everybody knows what everybody gets paid. The gender wage gap shrinks to 11%. And I know inside of that, there are all sorts of arguments between economists over what factors we should control for and what we shouldn't. But if we can go from 23 to 11 before we start controlling for anything, well, then we can dramatically reduce, I think, even after that. And so that, I think, is one of the more interesting revelations. The other that's kind of interesting is that there's some research that suggests that women and minority groups are actually drawn to companies or organizations that have a transparent condition because, again, they know that they don't have to have that in the back of their mind, always wondering if they're being paid unfairly. And so this is, to me, one of the benefits of a transparent condition is that you can't have an unfair pay system because it's glaringly obvious. And so you have to fix that first. And then when you invite people into it, you're giving them that reassurance that this is no longer something you have to keep in the back of your head. And we're seeing the push to this more and more. There are a lot of different employment law firms that are arguing for this. Actually, President Obama even recently said that during the anniversary of the Lilly Ledbetter Act, that he would be pushing for more and more companies to give transparent salary information based on race and gender to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, to the EEOC. And so again, we see sort of more and more nails in the coffin for the secrecy condition because, again, it's a whole lot easier to hide these issues when no one's talking about it. But when we are going through the uncomfortable work of talking about it, then we actually have to fix it. And that's a reason to be optimistic.
So it does seem, and this was very clear in your book, it does seem that companies that are offering salary transparency are attracting talent ahead of sexier rivals, you know, maybe who aren't. One of the things that I was wondering as I was coming away from reading the book and our conversation so far today is, are there any potential risks, pitfalls, downsides to this? Because it sounds great, but I mean, everything has a trade-off. So what's the trade-off here?
Well, I think in the initial, as we've been talking about, there's a trade-off of there's a good amount of work to be done on the front end to make sure salaries are transparent. You know, not every company that I profiled in under new management started the organization when they were an employee of one with a fully transparent salary system. A lot of them started out under the business condition and then actually decided to switch. And there's a lot of situations where people actually had to either get raises or sometimes even sort of slight reductions in order to bring everybody in line with the formula or the tiering system that was being used. And so there is that trade-off to have happen, that we have to have a conversation about why the salary system is changing and a conversation that looks forward to the benefits of it down the road. I would say the other trade-off is that not everybody wants everybody to know what they get paid, right? I realize this is something that's not necessarily for every single person. In particular, I think those who are paid dramatically high salaries may feel like this is a little bit uncomfortable at first, letting everybody know sort of what we're being paid. But in a sense, I think it's even better for performance on those people kind of in the middle of a normative distribution of performance, because inside the lab, the research shows that when people know how they're being paid and how that compares to their peers, then they're more likely to work to move up it. And even those high performers are more likely to work hard to stay high performers in order to sort of demonstrate why they bring that much value to the organization. And so it's the biggest work is the work to do ahead of time. It's going to create a couple conversations that are a little bit uncomfortable. But in each case, what we find is that after those conversations are over and after that initial, ooh, I can look up and see what everybody gets paid moment ceases, all that remains are usually productive conversations about how to improve the pay scale on behalf of everyone to feel fair. One of my favorite examples from under new management is actually in the company Sumall that was looking to hire a new engineer, and one of the engineers on the hiring team looked at the offer letter, looked at the salary that was going to be offered to the new hire and realized that the new hire had less experience but was going to be offered a bigger salary than he was. And so he actually had a repercussion to go, this is unfair. We can't offer him this and let me just be paid this. And they said, you're right. You deserve a raise. I'm sorry that we overlooked that, and so we'll fix it. But under the old condition, even that wouldn't, that conversation could never happen. And so, yes, there's some trade-off. There's some discomfort in the beginning to set the system up. But in almost every example that I could find, after that system, all that remains are productive conversations about how to improve the pay scale and how to make it feel more fair based on feedback from all employees.
So what if you're listening to this and you're in a company where there's not salary transparency, which is most of them, and you want to somehow get some of the benefits either on your team or in your business unit, whether or not, you know, you're in control of that business unit, if you're just, even if you're just one person who'd somehow like to import this in some way into their company, can you sort of have half transparency? Can you have transparency just on one team? Is there, you know, should you just start blurting out what you earn and hope that people tell you what they earn? I mean, how can someone, sort of just an individual free agent, kind of take something away from this, even if they can't redo their whole company system?
So there's a wonderful example that I talk about under new management of Dorothy Parker and several other famous writers who wrote for Vanity Fair. When Vanity Fair circulated a memo forbidding discussion among employees of salary, they showed up for work the next day with their salary written on signs hanging from their neck. Now, I don't advocate that, but it just shows pretty dramatic measures. I think, honestly, it's a conversation that needs to happen organization-wide, but I think every organization should start small. I don't think you should rip the Band-Aid off and just let everybody know what everybody gets paid, but maybe start by showing, hey, here's what the pay scales are, and then gradually narrow those pay scales and sort of make them more fixed so everybody has a good idea of that. Or just post the formula that you use, if you use a formula for calculating who gets made what offer during initial hiring. And that's a way to sort of test the waters and begin to experiment with transparency. As far as an individual, if you're an individual wanting to take steps towards greater transparency, and I have to preface this by saying I'm not a law professor nor am I a lawyer, but in general, a lot of court decisions have come down on the side of defending employees against retaliation for having pay discussions. So in general, the interpretation of the National Labor Relations Act shows that people can have this conversation even if their workplace sort of discourages it, which I think is interesting because a lot of workplaces actually have policies on the books discouraging pay. But the answer from the legal side is that in general, unless there's certain conditions, most discussions about pay transparency are actually free from fear of retaliation by an employer. So you could begin on that route. You don't have to go the Dorothy Parker route and wear a sign around your neck. But I think you can begin pushing for that conversation even as an employee and know that in some cases your rights are protected. But honestly, I mean, again, I'm not a law professor, nor am I a lawyer, but I honestly don't think this is a legal issue. I think this is an issue that I would love to see this become the rule and not the exception, rather than transparency now being the exception.
Well, David, it is a really fascinating and quickly evolving new frontier of management. So thank you so much for talking about it with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
That was David Berkus. The book is Under New Management. David also has a podcast called Radio Free Leader, so check that out as well. And for more of his writing, go to hbr.org.